this week about the role of the non-religious professionals in the readings this week. Think about the story of Elisha and Naaman, and try to imagine it without the servant girl. What would have happened to Naaman?
Rotted wig.
Yeah, he probably would have just, you know, gotten more and more leprous. She's a minor character, but she's such an important one. Because how does Naaman learn about the God of love and healing? From a very minor character in the story, a servant girl, somebody who looks like, you know, within that world of power, a nobody. Yet she becomes the instrument of God's grace and healing for Naaman. She gets him pointed in the right direction. You know, but even once Naaman meets the prophet, or well, at least gets to the prophet's house, because Naaman's pretty sure that he's hot stuff, right? And that the prophet really needs to come out and give him a personal appearance. And maybe that's part of Naaman's healing, too, that the prophet doesn't do that. And, you know, Naaman's been out of shape. Come on, I am important, and I've come with all kinds of wealth just to show how important I am. And some low-class prophet from a backwater country expects me to just go and bathe in this filthy river. This is ridiculous. I'm going back home, right? What persuades him not to do that? Some ordinary characters, some of his retinue, who say, hey, wait a minute. If the prophet had asked you to do something hard, wouldn't you have done it? Is your problem that this is just too ordinary for you? And it's those ordinary characters who help Naaman to accept the healing that's offered, to do what he needs to do, to get off his high horse and into the river. If you read the story, there probably wouldn't have been a miraculous healing without those ordinary characters who connected Naaman with the possibility of healing through God's love. Who got him pointed in the right direction and pointed back in the right direction when he was ready to walk. Right? And then in today's gospel, we have 70 regular followers of Jesus. Now, you know, this is not the 12. This is not the people that we hold up as apostles. These are just part of the crowd that followed Jesus around. We don't know their names. We don't know that they were anybody particularly important. There are 70 people that Jesus drafted. And he sent them on ahead of him into the towns and villages where he was planning to go. You know, it struck me in reading this story that Jesus is not sending these people off into foreign lands to be missionaries. Jesus is sending these people to communities that already know about the God of Israel. But the question is, what did they believe about that God? What kind of God did they have imagined in their head? Did their God resemble the God of Jesus Christ? The God of healing and grace and love? So Jesus sends the 70 out, and they prepare the way by spreading boldness where they go, by being agents of healing themselves, and by sharing the good news that God until they believe and accept what they're saying. As a matter of fact, they're just supposed to go out and proclaim, and if people accept it, wonderful. And if people reject it, move on. And I'm struck, too, by how relational it is. You know, they're told, go and stay in one house and don't move around. And that says, build relationships. Work through your relationships in any community you enter to share the good news. And I have to wonder, you hear about all these huge crowds that gathered wherever Jesus went. Would people have known about Jesus? Would they have been willing to listen if there hadn't been those 70 going out into the community and embodying love and telling people, look, a bearer of God's love is coming, someone who is sharing the news. Listen up. Be prepared. There's something really wonderful right here at hand. Our context is pretty different from the context of the first century. Right? And we live in a country where a lot of people have heard about God. But I think it's a really relevant question. What have they heard? What do they believe about God? I mean, you know, if you just listen to the news and what gets associated with the word Christian in our country, what kind of God do people imagine? An exclusive, hateful, judgmental, condemning God? Or the God who forgives, who heals, who draws the excluded into community, who loves utterly and completely? I think you know the answer to that question. Which God, kind of God do a lot of people in this country think about when they hear the word God? And so even though, you know, we can say this is a Christian nation, there's a lot of evangelizing to do in our day. And I mean by evangelizing, right back to the root of that word, sharing the good news. Preparing the way for Jesus' love. If we want the message of God's love and God's reign and the kind of justice and inclusion that our God is about, if we want that message to be heard, we have to be as effective at communicating it as the other side is. And just as it was in Jesus' time, when even Jesus was drafting other people to share the good news and saying, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. So today, sharing the good news is not just the job of religious professionals. There aren't enough of us, folks. And we don't reach into all the places that you do. We don't touch all the lives that you do. Every one of you is commissioned to be a bearer of God's love, to be a bearer of the message of God's reign, right here, at hand. Open and inviting to everyone who says yes. Everyone who loves God is invited to share in this work in our everyday, ordinary lives, in the relationships we already have, in the people that we meet, in our work, in our hobbies, in our daily activities. We're not responsible for people's reactions. We're not asked to go pin people down and force God down their throat. We're just responsible for sharing the love that we've experienced and letting other people know about it. So, and what does that, what might that look like? What might sharing the good news and working for wholeness, for healing in people's lives look like? You know, one of the things that I became aware of when I walked in the parade, the La-Di-Da parade, with the welcoming churches, I could see clearly that there were a lot of people in the crowd who weren't aware that there were welcoming churches. Right? I can only reach so many people. You can spread that word. That there are churches where LGBTQ people are welcome, included, just part of our community and loved. That's an important word to get out there. And I'm doing my best to get it out there. But there are a lot of people that I'm never going to meet. And you do. And it comes up. It comes up in conversation. Right? Every time there's that conversation, there's an opening for you. And it doesn't require a lot. Just, you know, my church, you're welcome. At my church, your family member is welcome. I love it.
This might help.
There's so many different ways and places to share that good news. You know, it's been really interesting to me to listen to Brian. Brian, you didn't know I was going to use you in my sermon, but I'm fine now. You know, he's going out and he's doing all kinds of repair work, right? He's got this repair business. He fixes stuff. And it takes him out into people's homes, and he meets lots of people. He meets lonely people. He meets people who, you know, they ask him what he does. They ask him about his connections. The topic of religion comes up. And he ends up talking with people about what they believe. Just in his ordinary work. And he keeps coming home and telling me about, you know, this person he's had a conversation with and, you know, and their understanding of God and how he's talked with them. You know, he's not going out there and forcing God down anybody's throat. He's just taking advantage of a topic that comes up and being willing to share about the God of love he knows. Several days ago, I read about the center in Clint, Texas, where the children are being detained. And read that a number of the guards at the center had reported the situation to people higher up. Here were people who were saying, this is unacceptable. We are working for healing of a situation that is not right. Right? That's working for healing where you are. That's speaking up where you are. As would be defying the order that you're not allowed to touch and hug those children. Right? It's the kind of thing where you can be an agent of healing where you are by speaking up against a system that's unjust. By reporting when you see things that are harmful done? How many of you have heard people make a comment about how their lives are just really messed up because somewhere they did something wrong and God is judging them? Do you hear people make comments like that?
Come on.
There's an opening to talk about a different kind of God. Even as simple as to say, I don't believe God is like that. That's not the God I know. The God I know is about healing. God I know is about love. And God doesn't plan people's lives to be awful. That's not the way God works. You know, there's an opening. In every person's life, there are moments when you have a chance to tell somebody something that might make all the difference in the world to them, that might turn their life around. And it doesn't require you to be obnoxious. It doesn't require you to, you know, go out passing out tracts or even knocking on doors. It just calls you to share the truth you know, to share the God of love you know. And that's not obnoxious. That's a gift. That's healing in other people's lives. That's something that turns people around, brings them into community, opens them to forgiveness, to love. Why wouldn't you want to share that? If you care about people, if you believe that God is love. So I invite you this week and in the weeks to come, think, how will you prepare the way for Jesus? How can you, in your ordinary, everyday life, make God's love known?